Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Interview with Phimelo Mudine on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
Well, thanks so much for staying with us. So we've obviously been speaking to lots of political parties, some independent candidates, and we've seen them come in with their manifestos and everybody promising in whatever good life or whatever it is that you understand them to be promising. We thought it's important to get a view of young people. We'll be doing some of this as we go to the elections. And whether people are hearing any of this that we're hearing right now. And because a lot of manifestos are centering young people at, you know, youth unemployment being a key major factor. They want to address that. Some are speaking about grants that they want to offer graduates and so on. So there is a lot of focus on young people, of course, because this country, by and large, the majority of people are young people. So, of course, it makes sense to speak to them. But are young people hearing any of this? Zuleika Patel, you may remember Zuleika. She was that young lady at Pretoria High. You remember her with that gorgeous, gorgeous hair, but got the country talking. And she's now since also done wonderful, wonderful things since that time, and has also written a fantastic book as well. I'll give you those details of her book later on. But she really is one of those people we thought we wanted to get in touch with and get a better understanding, you know, and we'll do this as we go along. Whether young people are hearing any of this and what it means to them. Zuleika, thanks for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you. Thank you for having me.
You've been, I'm sure, observing what's been happening. You're listening to political parties and leaders and everybody offering young people something. As a young person, and I'm not suggesting you're speaking for all young people, is any of this noise making sense to you?
Thank you for that question. It's actually a really great question. I think there's been a lot of campaigning happening from the various political parties, and there hasn't been much detailed focus on the challenges young people are facing outside of the campaigning and trying to garner the youth vote, which obviously advances politicians to get seats and advances their political careers, essentially. But I don't think there's been enough focus on the ground in terms of, outside of the noise in campaigning, actually listening in to the challenges that young people are facing around unemployment, challenges around opportunity, challenges around higher education, and actually listening to how best they can assist young people in terms of propelling them in a better direction and propelling them to better opportunity. So there hasn't been much work outside of the noise of campaigning, and I think it's also become quite I'm not sure whether to say confusing or rather it's been overwhelming for a lot of young people when I listen in on the ground and find out how young people are feeling about the election next week. It's become quite overwhelming because young people certainly want a change. However, they don't know exactly who best fits the position in governance, in decision making, to be able to create change. But one thing that's always clear is that the challenges are not necessarily heard thoroughly, and there isn't much attention paid to the challenges.
So I'm going to open the lines, Zuleika, if you don't mind as well, and ask young people whether, you know, they can engage with this and how they feel as well about this. 086-000-0959. What I find is interesting, Zuleika, is in as much as we hear a lot of them speaking to young people and speak about young people's issues, I wonder whether the young people's issues have been diagnosed properly, if you know what I'm saying. How do we know if young people want a grant? Is that what young people want? Do we have a full understanding of what's really, really important for young people? And not only that, do we understand how you want your problems to be solved?
I think that comes from engagements on the ground with young people. That comes from sitting and engaging with young people and creating spaces for young people to be able to directly engage political party leaders, because the only way you're able to effectively bring about change as a potential campaigning leader for governance or for the National Assembly or any position of decision making in the country is if you actually engage people on how they actually want change to be brought about and exactly what their challenges are and how they wish for those to be solved. But if you don't have those engagements, then you're going to misdiagnose the socioeconomic challenges that not just young people, but people in general are facing in the country.
Mm. And so let's ask you, I mean, I know, as I said, you're not necessarily a representative of all young people, but it's a good dipstick. You know, yes, people talk about young people not being employed, but do we fully comprehend what employment looks like or what financial freedom looks like? What's important to you? What do young people actually want? What does that mean to you when people talk about youth unemployment? Do we know what you want? What would you like?
I don't think we fully grasp the depth of the challenge of unemployment and particularly youth unemployment in the country. And we don't fully understand that, fully understand the many layers to the problem around unemployment as well, right? It's not just people don't have jobs and they're simply unemployable or there aren't enough jobs for people to apply for. We're not understanding the different layers to the issue. And when I say we're not understanding the different layers to the issue, is I'll unpack a few of them, right?
Yes.
If any politician seeks to solve unemployment, youth unemployment, you cannot ever talk about youth unemployment without addressing the challenges faced within higher education. Our system of higher education as it stands currently as a country is in a terrible place. It's in a dreadful place. And we as a country are never going to move forward for as long as we do not fix our crumbling system of higher education. Number one, young people not being able to access higher education due to funding. Most recently, the NSFAS board was dissolved. And prior to then, there were already challenges with NSFAS and young people not being funded and historical debts. And then secondly, also questioning whether certain qualifications are relevant in how our socioeconomic issues in the country develop and how we move as a society, and questioning the relevance of certain qualifications as opposed to how our society adapts and moves forward. And then also the positioning of TVET colleges as well. I think one of the greatest injustices we've ever done as a country in relation to higher education is how we positioned TVET colleges. To date, we do not understand the value which TVET colleges bring to society. We don't understand the value of the programs offered there, and we don't understand the value in which those people that are alumni of TVET colleges, how they immediately leave TVET colleges with a skill that can be applied and a skill that can be monetized and a skill that can later develop into entrepreneurship, which later then solves the challenge of poverty and unemployment. So that's one of the first layers, issues around higher education. If we do not talk about higher education, then we're not grasping and understanding the crisis of youth unemployment right? And then secondly, then also talking about graduates that cannot access any post-university training to prepare them for the job market, right? There's also a gap there in whether or not graduates are prepared for the job market and how they're prepared in university and what happens post-university. And then thirdly, we also then have a challenge of also I think a lot of the times we miss talking about this, but it's so fundamental, especially when you look at how South African society has been shaped by the previous apartheid regime, is we don't talk about how skewed opportunities are offered based on which corner of the country you find yourself in. And we're not addressing challenges in terms of our society still being deeply attached to remnants of the previous system of apartheid and how that has shaped our society and how it looks in terms of the geospatial planning and how that affects opportunity and how opportunity is spread out as well, and what you know and how you move forward and your essentially your outcome in life. So the issue of unemployment is really multifaceted, and I don't think we grasp all the various different facets of it.
I mean, you raise such important points, and as I said, you know, we'll take calls 086 000 00959. It's layered, because there are people who may enter the job market, and the question is also, you know, whether you, whatever family background you come from, at which level you are able to enter into the job market based on the relations that you have in your networks, because you may be sitting with a master's degree, but by golly, if your mother or your auntie or your uncle is not an executive or is not a surname that has been advantaged for the past 100 years, you are probably going to be sitting at entry level, job level with that master's, because, you know, who's going to be your sponsor type thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it even goes beyond these issues that we've raised. But I really think that there hasn't been much priority placed on higher education, which really, every time I talk about youth unemployment, I always say that we have to understand that these issues are interlinked. You cannot, of course, there would be a high youth unemployment rate in a country that has a crumbling system of higher education.
So there's youth unemployment, and then there are other things that are important to youth. What are those things?
First, I think the election we're going into next week is actually the second most important election in this country's history. The first most important election, which we all know to be the very first democratic election held in 1994. But next week marks the second most important election, because we are now 30 years into our democracy, and we have seen a country governed for the past 30 years by one governing party, and we've seen the challenges from us transitioning into the current democratic dispensation, and we've seen how over the years we've advanced and the setbacks and what has not been fixed, and whether or not justice, human rights, and a standard quality of life has been realized for every single South African in this country. We've seen that play out for the past 30 years. So next week is essentially us making our mark in terms of having seen what's happened for the past 30 years. And that mark determines what the next 30 years will look like. And we can't sit 60 years into democracy and have a South Africa that still looks the same. And so outside of youth unemployment, higher education is another really important thing that we need to think about when we're deciding where we place our X next week. We need to think about the system of higher education and also basic education. Education is a very fundamental part of society, and with education systems that are crumbling, society at large will be affected in terms of unemployment, in terms of young people being involved in substance abuse and many related issues to young people. If education crumbles, young people crumbles. And if young people crumble, then the future crumbles as well. So we have to think about that. We have to think about things such as our system of healthcare. The NHI bill was just passed, right? We need to think about how that affects all of us when we make that mark next week. And most importantly, above all, I think we need to think about the fact that South Africa, 60 years from now, cannot be a country whereby we are defined as one of the most unequal countries in the world, where people live in one country but in two different worlds, right? Dependent on which side of the railway or which side of the highway you are on, you live a totally different standard of living. And we live in a country where your race essentially also determines your outcome in life. What kind of healthcare you'd be exposed to, where you will live, what kind of opportunities you'll be exposed to, it determines your entire outcome. And this is as a result of the apartheid system, which has not been fully annihilated. We are 30 years into our democracy next week. People will be making their mark on their ballots. 30 years since the first ever democratic election was held. And that election was held essentially to eradicate and annihilate the previous system of apartheid, right? And now here we are 30 years and it hasn't been fully annihilated. You see the remnants of it present in our society. You don't even have to think about it as rocket science. You can just see it in the geospatial planning of this country. We still live in apartheid's construct, and that is not an insignificant thing, because that significantly determines one's outcome, whether you are born in a rural area, whether you're born in a township, or whether you're born in a suburban area. That will determine your outcome, right? So these are the things we need to think about critically, which are so important outside of us talking about challenges of unemployment. We even need to talk about the challenge of poverty as well. And when you think about these social issues, right? I want people to think of them as social issues that are all interlinked, which they are, because none of our issues are in this country are isolated and are isolated random social issues that are isolated and should be thought of as issues that have no root cause, that are not interlinked into other issues. We should think of all the issues we face as a country as interlinked and start to think really critically around the root cause of it, and think about who continues to sustain the existence of these issues, who benefits from the existence of these issues, and that should be the basis of how we make our mark next week, right? And it's really important because there's so many challenges we face as a country, socioeconomic challenges that affect, that seem to affect one group in society as well, which is another thing to think about, and is also one of the things I think is extremely important.
I did say we're going to take calls. Zuleika Patel is with us. She's an author and an activist as well. And Nganye, so thanks so much for calling. Good evening and welcome.
Greetings, can you hear me?
I'm well, thank you. Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Oh, great. Greetings to you and your listeners.
Good evening.
I agree fully with the speaker. I think, I'm being a young person myself, it is true that we are very dynamic and there are many things that we are confronted with. So the youth vote is not as simple and clear cut as politicians make it seem out to be. However, I'd also like to bring to the fore the responsibility that comes with us young people. You know, when it comes to voting, it's not something that just happens when we vote. The interest in politics is us being active in our communities, us being active in our families, which is a vacuum that has existed. So I think that as much as we say our methods are not addressed, they can only get addressed once we take active participation within those spaces. So in the communities, I mean, it goes beyond employment. In the community, when it comes to things such as crime, criminals are significantly young. When you look at the statistics, you look at the crime rate, they are young people who commit these crimes. So if they are, if we've got old people in our communities chasing these young people, we will always be at the back foot. So we need to actively participate in our communities. And when it comes to election time, we will not need any convincing. We will know which one is for us and which one is not for us.
So you know, do you know right now, as you sit there, who is for you?
Absolutely, I do know who's for me. And it's not because it's not because of some superior thing that happened, but it's just participating actively in things that happen in and around my surroundings. And I think that's something that we really need to do, so that when such times come, such crucial times, as she said, that it's the second most important election. When such times come, we don't need to start again and go read manifestos and things like that. We've seen them through action. Who has been with us when we were fighting crime? Who was with us when we were fighting for education? Who was with it, those sorts of things?
Got you.
I think that's where the cracks of the matter
is.
We need to take a certain level of accountability on our end.
In other words, if you've been involved, if you are present, if you're also part of a community that is on the ground, you would know. You would know, as you said, who's been there for you. Got you.
That's because right now we're treating elections as a silo, as something that happens now and then we go back to our regular lives. Meanwhile, it's something that impacts our regular lives. So we need to actively be participating so that we are well informed come this time. When people are saying many things, telling us dreams, we know who's been with us throughout.
I like that. Nkanyiso, thanks so much for that reflection. Suleika, we don't have much time. We've only got a minute left. And I wanted us to talk about security and how important that is for young people, especially women, young women. But maybe also to wrap up with your own thoughts on, you know, being active as an activist, that may make it easy or not for you to identify who's for you and who's not for you. But if you can just maybe add that in your final thoughts as well.
Apologies, you're breaking towards the end. I do want to check if you can hear me, because
we couldn't hear you. We can hear you loud and clear. I was just saying, as we wrap, in your final thoughts, perhaps also just quickly touch on security for young women, because I think it's a big thing in this country. But also, you know, the previous Nkanyiso was talking about the fact that it's easy. As young people, you've seen people on the ground. If you're active, you would know who's for you and who's not for you.
Essentially, it is simple. It's really also not difficult. You need to do your research in terms of simple things like watching the news, paying attention to who's on the ground, what they're doing. Do your research on the IEC. Understand what each ballot means, because we're, for the first time, going to be presented with three ballots. Understanding what those three ballots mean, how they affect you in terms of understanding when you are looking at your national ballot, what does that mean? When you put your X on it, who are you voting for in terms of where are they going to go? Understanding those things and making sure you are up to date with what is happening on the ground would obviously make it simpler for you to understand where you want to place your X. And for me, as an active young person, it becomes clearer because you're able to see what kind of engagements people are having on the ground and what they're actually doing beyond an engagement level, practically and tangibly. What are they doing to change the lives of people in this country? So that also aids me in terms of deciding where I would place my eggs. So it's really just a matter of making sure that you are informed and ensuring that you consistently inform yourself and keep yourself updated in terms of what's happening on the ground.
I really appreciate you making time for us. All the best and speak to you soon, Suleika. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. Have a lovely evening.
Have a lovely one. Suleika Patel, who's an activist as well as an author. She's got a fantastic book. Just Google her. You remember that beautiful face alongside that beautiful hair. You remember her activism when we all heard of her at Pretoria Girls High. But she's gone on to do amazing things. And I think she's definitely one to watch. And has also authored a gorgeous, gorgeous book. And the illustration thereof. Oh, you can just lap those little people up. So that's Suleika Patel there.
And if you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.